we are alive and we are moving, but hopefully everything would remain nice and calm today as opposed to yesterday when we had all those outages all along the East Coast. And I gotta admit, it flabbergasted me. I hate it when things go wrong that I have zero control over. Of course, if it makes no sense to have that attitude, but it just the same really rattles me when things go wrong and you can't do a thing about it. I lose all, my train of thought goes off. I become very agitated and all of that. But in any event, I had to deal with that yesterday and grow up a little bit and understand that sometimes things are completely outside of our control. But it looks like we're okay again today. So we will proceed. Hope you're all right. Hope you didn't suffer any extraordinary inconvenience. But in any event, even if you did, that was yesterday. Today's today, and we move on. Well, we had started talking about, of course, Mr. Trump and where he is now. And I have to confess ambivalence here. It was not too long ago a complete opinion, but now it's kind of ambivalence because I can't imagine that the country is in this mess. And we all just trying to figure out what's next and how to get to next. Things are going crazy, but at the same time, he's still like a predator, just skirting the outer circles, looking in to see where he can get some kind of entree so that he can continue doing his mad things. And as I look back, because as you know, I've been talking about Donald Trump's mental instability and how important it is for people to recognize that and to just simply say, well, okay, he may have a little touch of something, but he is a candidate for president, and we have to take him seriously. And which was the whole ruse? The whole ruse was to have Donald Trump present himself as a regular guy. What a trip. What a play on the entire nation and the world that he's well anchored, that he is stable. Nothing of the sort is true. Nothing is true. And we saw it. We saw it early on. And people would just absolutely not bring themselves to say, let's take a look at this. This could be serious and it could have major implications for the United States, but not just for the United States, for the whole world. He is off on his jag. He's doing his thing. He thinks, of course, there's nothing he can do. There's nothing he can't do, sorry. He can do anything. And the indication from outside was, you're right, sir. You could do anything you want to do. And so he did. And now we come to this point. So pardon me if I'm not shocked. I started talking about it 4 years ago. And trying to make it clear, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a professional in that field at all. But you don't have to be. You just had to pay attention. And you can see that this guy was off the rails. Not as off the rails then as he is now. It's gotten much worse, but you can see it happening. You can see it unfolding, and you can see also the extraordinary effort being made by this system, even people who politically are on the other side, to accommodate this. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want it to be a topic of discussion. And now, 4 years plus later, we see how, you know, the country, the whole country is in a fix. And who is at the center of it? He is. And now Congress has to deal with, how do we fix this? How do we get out of this? Who caused this? They're still talking in terms of denial. Who caused this situation? How did this happen? What do we do now? How do we solve the problem? It's like, what is the matter with you? People have tried in many different ways to bring it to your attention. They itemized the situation. They itemized his way of operating as a way of calling attention to the fact that the whole nation was being held hostage by this out-of-control man and the people who decided he is exactly what we want. And after all, an election was held, and it's the American way. And he's elected, so he's got to be legit. He's legit once he's elected. And the systems of support began to work predictably to produce an ever-increasing, insane approach to governance. And here we are. We're in the middle now of a major crisis, which is part of a global crisis. And we still can't count on rock-solid guidance and reaction from the guy who was elected as the head of state. Isn't that interesting? But now we have somebody new. And yesterday I started asking the question, how are you feeling? What vibes are you getting? I'm not saying that just because, we have to have some kind of doubt and we have to look at him with a jaundiced eye. But I'm saying we must not ignore full-fledged alarms that, in my view, in some cases have already appeared. And we're moving on as if there is no need to worry. Everything is copacetic, as they used to say. And why? Well, because Trump is gone. No, he isn't. This is the trauma that we're going through still. He isn't gone. The apparatus of government has not made him gone. He's still here, still causing upheavals all over the place, still taking shots, still disabling, still doing his magic, which is insanity. And still, people are refusing. They just absolutely refuse to admit that Trump is a very sick man. And he is comfortable in his illness, mental illness, and has been for years. And he had been put in the top spot. He was in the top spot, the President of the United States. And what goes along with that is the thinking he can do no wrong or no further wrong. That's not what happened and is happening now. The country is still hostage to an extremely dangerous, mentally ill man. And there is a whole network formed around him that not only protects him, but now protects them, because he spawned an industry. The industry is admire me and do what I want you to do, because I'm smart, I know what I'm doing, and you should have no questions. You should only be comforted by the fact that I'm in the White House. This is, America is in such a terrible state of denial, and it continues. And they continue to avoid discussing what we've been through for the past 4 years and more with Donald Trump and his clan. I am not hopeful. I'm not hopeful. If we can't see our way to a clear vision through all of this muck and mire and the fog, would it ever be possible for us to have an unbiased view, a clear view of where we are as a nation and what it is we ought to do and how do we go forward? These kinds of questions. We're not capable. We are not capable, because part of the damage done in the last 4 years has been to recondition ourselves. We're no longer independent-minded people. We are looking to the worst person possible to tell us what to do. And that's how we calibrate ourselves. And it translates down to how we conduct our homes, our lives at home, our children, our communities. This is not a simple thing. Our country has suffered permanent damage, and we need to understand that. Our thinking has been screwed up. It took only a short time, but all the parts, all the separate and disparate parts came together to create such an abysmally crazy reality that people just said, well, you know, I can't do anything about it. Let's go along to get along, kind of thing. This, I think, is the cataclysmic change that the country has been through. It has decided to settle on the so-called leadership of a person who is so ill, but smart enough to concoct a particular reality that everybody bought into and continues to buy into. We're still arguing on his terms. We're still fighting his positions on things. And what are we seeing? We're seeing, you know, the pillaging of our storehouses, money, influence, power, secret deals cut, people who are not qualified running things. This is not just, you know, episodic. This is a 5-year reality already. And even with a new president, this is where we're going to get into the discussion today that I tried to start yesterday, and the forces of evil conspired against us and just prevented us from continuing to go on the air because of, you know, electronic disturbances and so forth. But let's get back to that subject. let's get back to that subject. Because it helps us brace ourselves for what's next. I remembered telling you as the year ended, or the new year started, whichever way you want to think about it. My father used to say the most important word is next. Next. What's next? And we should give a lot of thought to that word. What's next? Well, we were given an answer, or the country gave an answer, in the election of Joe Biden. He's next. What have we got? Do we know? Are we getting inklings yet of what's next with Joe Biden? And that's a question. Are you very optimistic of what it is we ought to be looking out for, what it is we ought to be paying attention to, what is in our interest as the people? And as a people coming out of a horrific, we're still not out of it because the president still hovers over us. But what is it that we should expect? And that's a question I wanted to start broaching the subject with, by asking that with the dawning of this new administration, whether you're very optimistic, somewhat optimistic, or not at all optimistic about what our fate is or will be in a Biden administration, and what is driving your concerns. What is at the top of the list of your concerns? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's get the conversation started. 888-874-4888. We have to start asking these kinds of questions because we neglected to ask these questions even as the dangers were unfolding. We could see what the impact was as they unfolded, but it didn't seem to matter to us. We were mesmerized, or we just, I don't know, we checked out. And this is what we got. So now we are living in the aftermath of that. And we still don't know whether we are safe. And we don't seem to be moving in the direction to protect our own safety. 888-874-4888. Let's get the conversation started. Why are you so reluctant today? I don't understand it. You're usually a very brave and eager group. What is it about the question that is making you a little bit apprehensive? What is this new administration holding out as a promise that it would be nothing like the past administration? And yet, you have to ask yourself some questions. Are we seeing indications, even this early, that we have a different kettle of fish, but in many cases, we have to be prepared that it ain't a different kettle of fish? We have to be on the defensive, and we cannot let things slide. As they occur, we have to tackle them, we have to point them out, and we have to be vigilant, because we lost a lot. When you start tallying, you'd see how much we have lost in the last 5 years as a nation. And then, of course, the obvious, there are parts of the nation that lost a lot more than other parts of the nation. and we don't discuss them. That part of the nation has to fend for itself. And we consider them, in fact, just that. They're a different part of the nation. And this is how our thinking has changed, in which we don't see it's all Americans. We see it as a pocket over here with its attendant privileges and rights and money and a way of life. And then there's a pocket over here. And then there's a pocket over there. And we have the interconnecting tissue of racism, classism, etc. So even though people are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and looking forward to a new administration, we are showing the signs that we haven't learned a thing. We are showing the signs that we are continuing a pattern of denial. And in fact, of yielding to the myth, I would call it, that there's nothing we can do except we go along as best we can to see whether we can cope with the adversities that are staring us right in the face. But we have not, and that's my whole point, we have not escaped the tyranny of the last 5 years. We have not even acknowledged it. We have not even discussed what it has done to us as a nation, how it has transformed us, and whether we have the guts or the energy even to set things right this time. 888-874-4888. That's the number to call so we can hear what you have to say and contribute. In the meantime, if we can give you some time to think, we'll do so with this break. Right after this, we come back to your thoughts. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about this new shift that we're going through, questioning whether it's new, and if so, how, in what ways is it a new shift? But we're talking also, and more so, about the fact that we have moved from one thing to another, from one administration to the other, with a lot of unfinished business. And it continues to color our attitudes and our actions in the present, supposedly new administration. Do you see it as a problem? Or do you see that you can just make that transition, even though we're carrying all this baggage? And the consequences of a mentally unstable man's actions in the last 4 years. And the impact of a runaway administration permeating all aspects of our society. There's not a thing that has been untouched by Donald Trump and his bizarre way of looking at the world and seeking to control everything in it. There's a lot of damage that has been done to the country, and we have not had a national discussion about that. What is it that it puts us in right now, even as we pretend that not only are we ready for something new, but that we could handle it? And what is new? Is the Joe Biden who presents himself the Joe Biden that we need? What is he presenting to us as the people that we can feel safe with? Or do we feel safe already? And are we so damaged psychologically that we are inclined, just as we were in the previous administration, we are inclined to go along to get along? What does that say about where we're headed as a nation? And why? That's the question. Why are we so unwilling? We are insistent. We don't want to go back there. We don't want to ask these questions. We don't want accountability. We don't want a Truth and Reconciliation Commission to say, this is what was done to us as a nation in the last 4 years. These are the consequences we now have to live with and don't deserve to live with. But we have to live with them now because we did nothing as a nation before to set things right. We did not want to broach the subject that the President of the United States was completely out of control. And for him, it was an adventure. For us, it was a whole bunch of other things but adventure. It was suffering. It was deceit. It was pillaging. It was creating even deeper crevices in the cracks of our society. It was denial. It was just refusing to have our society function in a democratic fashion. We lost all of that because even our leaders gave up. They did not fight the fight. And here we are. Is this fair? Is this right? Whatever it is what we have to deal with now, on top of possibly new challenges with a Biden administration. So that's the question. Are you very optimistic, somewhat optimistic, or not at all optimistic about what life in a Biden administration promises to be? And do we have any systems of checks and balances here? Or is it going to be a milder form of what we've been through? Or is it going to be exactly the same? That's where we are right now as a nation. And we have to ask the question now because we failed to ask the questions earlier. Our leaders failed utterly to confront this reality that we have lived with for the last 4 years. And in that last 4 year period, we have yet to quantify just how much damage was done in this country. We don't want to talk about it. Eve from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon, E. How are you doing?
I'm doing so-so. I think the problem is we can't be objective about things because we're being blinded by hate. Now, people that lived in New York most of their life, they know about Donald Trump, long history, right? Me and my friends, we used to go to Coney Island in the summer every day and get on the N train, and we'd see the big apartment buildings his father owned, and they said, hey, that's Donald Trump's father's buildings, and he's going to be rich and inherit all that stuff. And we called him Richie Rich, the little kid in the cartoon and the comic books, yeah? So we had a view of this Donald Trump guy when we were only 10 years old and riding the N train to Coney Island. And this went on every time we passed it, because when you're little and you get on the elevated line, you got this panoramic view of the city and it's beautiful, and you're going to be standing up taking notice of everything. So, you know, we have a certain view of Donald Trump. We know about his history. You said his father's a racist and a long line of racism. You say, you know, many people know about his business practices. So right from the get-go, before he's even the president, he already has this, you know, stigma of this people hate him. Okay, so now, not only do they hate him in real life just as a regular citizen, now they got to contend with this guy who's now the president of the United States. This is like worse than Hillary Clinton. This is like this guy that we have this history of our whole lives. I mean, if you lived in New York, you came in like when you were 16. So 1968, 69, you were right there where you needed to be if you want to know about Donald Trump and his behavior. So they have this base of haters of this man. So what they had to do was, in 12 years, create a base of lovers of this man. And that's what they were able to do. And that's why they did it, so there could be this division. And we can't see how they're manipulating us because of the hate that's blinding us.
But we're anything not without the does, capacity to
we
think.
We want
to
believe what happened in Washington is exactly what happened. Why give them
but
an
I'm
out?
Saying, it was I'm the, saying, it was the, saying, it's not,
okay.
We're not so much interested in analyzing Donald Trump. We kind of have some broad ideas of who he is and what he does and what he has done. I'm saying, why haven't we changed? I'm not concerned about Donald Trump. He's clear. I mean, he has already indicated what he's about. Why haven't we confronted this thing, this man, and all that he brought to his office, much of which is and now he still continues, even though he's out of office, to have an inordinate impact on how we progress or don't progress as a nation.
Right. Well, I guess what I just said didn't make no difference about anything, because of course they're going to continue with this Donald Trump thing because he's the menace. As long as we believe he's the man, the menace, like Hitler was, and maybe back in the 40s, we were misled by history too. Maybe the United States aided and abetted Hitler to get away with what he did. Maybe they wanted it to be successful. Maybe we have been blinded by a lot of things in life, in history. Let's say...
Okay, but here we are.
They wanted,
we are at this particular point right now in contemporary history. Do you think that the nation is ready to look into the recent past and say, this is not to be permitted to happen again? Or look and see whether the new leader has way too many aspects of the old leader. Or maybe he's trying to do something new. What is it? Where does that put us as a nation?
Puts us in nowheresville because we can't make a decision because they're manipulating us. Do you understand? We're being brainwashed as I'm speaking. They have things set up now that we believe that Donald Trump's the menace and anybody else is going to be better than him, and we got to put this other guy in there who they wanted in there from the very start. But they had to take a break between Obama and because Obama had 8 years as Democrat, now they got to move to Republican. So they put this guy in there for 4 years to scare everybody, and then we'd all be begging for Biden to come and save us. This is exactly what has turned out to be. Gwen didn't want to vote for Biden. She wanted to vote for Bernie Sanders. He could have ran as a third party, and then she could have had a wish, and I was hoping. That's why I said to he should run as an independent, but it was all set up for Biden, and he got her vote because she had no other choice. If we're not having a choice, then we're being misled, then we're just being led into something. We're being funneled into something, and we're not seeing it because we're blinded by hate.
All right.
So
thank you so much for getting
anybody
us started today. Gerald from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Gerald, you're on the air. Is Gerald there?
Dropped.
Okay. Okay, we lost Gerald. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. I was just saying.
Oh, good. Yeah, you can hear me. All right. I'm looking at your question, and it's excellent because it brings me to the point where I can look at the oligarchy that runs the country. It's so brilliant. It has gotten the people to a point where it has them under complete control. And by that I mean the masses of people in this country do not understand the game that is played against the people to control the country by the elite at the top of the oligarchy that run the country. And they are so good at it. Now, they have selected Biden to get in to take the place of Trump. His style is much different. So there's a change that satisfies some people, certainly not all of them. So some people say, oh, we had to get rid of Trump. Now we have Biden. And Biden's job, as I see it, is to do what they do when they want to calm some people down. And what they want to do is present some bones. Some of the bones will be presented, and people say, oh, that's nice. But they know that they control the so-called legislative branch, the Congress, and you can present a bone and makes you look like a good guy, but you know right off that it won't go through. And so you say, well, I tried to get it through, but it won't go through. So they are just masters at controlling the mass of people that live in the country against the interests of the masses of people and for the benefit of the rich and powerful. And you can see that quite clearly by how the rich and powerful, the oligarchy at the top, is enriching themselves each day more and more, and the people are suffering. So that's the reason. People do not understand the game that's being played. I'm talking about the masses of people on them here in the country and throughout the world. So that's the problem. People have to educate themselves. Right now, we're talking about people on the right and left who have been trained. There's a difference between training and education. The last thing that a ruling class wants to do is to educate people. It wants to train people to do things that are useful to continue the status quo. So that's the problem that we have, and that's why they're still winning. The people at the top are still winning, and everybody else is losing. So that's the way I see it. And
are you optimistic? Are you not optimistic? about of change, meaningful change with the Biden administration in the context of what you just outlining?
No, I think that meaningful change, very little will occur, even though Biden is going to play the game so well that he has to give up something. Just let's look at it like this. When FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, had to give up some things that a ruling class wouldn't want, you know, during the Great Depression. Well, maybe Biden will have to give up some things to, you know, deal with the people. But you can't forget that you're dealing with a man-eating tiger. That's the Biden and the rest of the ruling group, the people at the top. And there's no way that you can make that man-eating tiger into a tabby cat. And that's what we have. You got a man-eating tiger. And even though I remember the Buddhists over in Asia were taming tigers and walking them around, but they're still tigers. And the ruling class are big tigers, and don't expect them to give up anything for the benefit of the people when they can enrich themselves more and more. And that's the problem we have, because they control the training of people. And as long as you can train people, you can manipulate them with the usual things that they use here, which is the concept, this false concept of race and white supremacy and all that nonsense, and the other ways that they have a system of a usual divide and conquer, and it works very well for those who rule.
Thank you, David, for your contribution today. Always something to learn from you. G from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Blessings, Liz Chief. How are you today?
Okay, thanks. How are you?
I am just doing just peachy. Thank you very much.
Peachy. I haven't heard that in a while.
You know, so, I used to own a limousine service, and I used to pick up a lot of people from Atlanta, and that thing was peachy, so I sort of stuck with me for the last 25 years.
Well, now, Atlanta, I can understand the home of peaches. But anyway.
Okay, what I want to say is this.
What is your reaction to where we are now? What are you seeing as we make this transition?
What I see, hopefully I can answer this sort of in my way. What I see, right, is Davos 2021 that's happening now, right? One of the themes is your own nothing and be happy. And with this coronavirus, they said that 40% of all the businesses that was lost that would never come back is black females. Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's devastating. You know, for me, you know, being a black Puerto Rican, when we look at, you know, our households and how many households are managed by females, and to think that 40% would never get their job back. And I think they actually want us to be slaves. They really, really do. They want to take away our freedom. They want to take away all the jobs. And I think that one of the reasons why Biden is talking so good now is because they actually want to give us a limited universal income. They do not want us to own anything. They want us to almost be like damn near slaves. And that's what's going on. And especially that's what's going on with Davos. When they say the great reset, we have no idea. And one of the things that I know I called a couple of times off subject and told you about, you know, the digital currency and all that. But what it is to track us. So we're going to, and the thing is that right now we have to find a way to make ourselves useful, to be able to make up businesses now, because in the next couple of years, it's going to be devastating, man. They're going to tell you can only have 500 a week or whatever. So the freedom of America is going right down the damn drain. I mean, not that we had, as a people, had that much freedom anyway. But what's going on now is just to have us to be so, our condition will be so bad that we just actually just rely on whatever the government says, right? We'll give up our, you know, our constitutional rights. We'll take the vaccinations, whatever they tell us, so we can get, you know, a little check from the government. So it's scary times.
You know,
I'm a grandfather.
You don't see Biden as being substantially different from that model.
Well, I think that Biden, right, he can ease us into that, because after Trump, right, and now Biden, you know, he's talking all good. He you know, he regressed the crime bill. He's sorry. He wants to make everything up for us, you know. I mean, of course, Biden compared to Trump looks like an angel. But, you know, we're talking about from Lucifer to the devil. You know what I'm saying? One kisses us as we get slapped. Well, as we get screwed, and the other one, you know, slaps us. You know, it depends on how you like it. But the bottom line is, like I said, I was telling my wife yesterday, I said, you know something? Biden sounds so good, man. He's talking positive and prison reform and, you know, and universal. They're going to go for universal pay. They're going to give us a paycheck, because they don't want a revolution. And I just want to say, I agree with a lot of things that gentleman was saying before. So I tell you, you got some really, really good informative people on your show. I learned a whole lot just by listening to the people that you listen to. But I just want to say something to follow up what he was saying about Roosevelt. Roosevelt didn't do the great deal and the Social Security and all that because he liked us. He didn't do it because he cared. He didn't give a damn nothing about poor people. He did it because we was in the age of revolution and communism all over the world, and there were so many strikes in the United States of America with the labor stuff that he told the billionaires, right? You either give up part of 2 or 3% of your income, or it might be a revolution where you lose everything. So, you know what I'm saying? So they gave us, you know, crumbs in order for them to save their billions. So it wasn't because Roosevelt was such a nice guy. I just want to, you know, I mean, even though I didn't know him personally.
I understand. Well, thanks for calling in and contributing. Thank you. This is the discussion we need to start having more and more vigorously. And forget the idea. It's not that whether you like Biden or you're supposed to hate Biden, or you like Trump or hate Trump. It is how systems are designed to work in order to achieve certain long-term goals. Sometimes it's short-term, but mostly it's long-term because it is systemic. They're creating systems that will undergird how we function across the board as a society. So it takes time, and it's a complex process. But don't ever believe that it's just this or it's just that. No, it is the integration of interlocking, I should say, of systems that all work together, or all are made to work together, to produce a predictable result. But look at where we are. I mean, we're not, as a nation, we're not engaging in analytical discussions about what is happening to us and what has happened to us, because we have a problem, quote, attacking, and that's not what it is, but that's how it's going to be translated, attacking a nice man like Biden. So we reserve judgment and we don't say anything. Just like on the other side, we just come through where people went overboard in accommodating the craziness of Trump, because they could see the plan. They can see how he's working toward a plan, and a plan that is shared by a considerable number of Americans, especially those who are in the ruling elite. But we haven't had that discussion. about the flip side, which we are given, which is we are to consider Biden. We are to have no sense of trepidation about Biden. We are to accept him. It's the same thing like Trump. Trump was to be accepted as a guy who's coming in to blaze a trail, to do away with a do-nothing government and crooked government. He was the crooked government. But a great deal of attention was given to creating the persona that he will change America for the better. All the slowness and the ignorance of government and the unwillingness of government to move quickly and decisively to improve things, he is going to do that. And we must trust in his good judgment. Here we have exactly the same thing, except ideologically, we're told this is different. Biden is a very nice guy. He goes to church on Sunday. He's suffered a lot, but he has been noble in his suffering. He understands suffering, so he understands us. We should have no reason to look at Biden with a jaundiced view. But I tell you, this is precisely what we must do, because our very lives are at stake. And they are at stake in a way we haven't seen for a very long time. But trust me, it has begun. It began with Trump. It continues with Biden. And so we have to have these conversations ongoing so that he is not let off the hook. We do look at the contradictions and we call it out. We call them out. And we become far more aggressive in protecting our interests. That's the bottom line. I want to thank you so much for calling in. We are going to have these kinds of discussions because, as you can see, what happens when you ignore the problem for 4 years? This is what we get. And this is an attempt to make people believe, well, there's a reversal occurring. Is there? What is the reversal to? where are we headed? And we need to keep our minds sharp, and we need to be focused specifically on our collective interests. Thanks so much for joining me today. Let's get together tomorrow and do some more talking. Bye-bye.